16.5 million Latinos voted in 2020. That was a 48% increase from the 12.7 million who voted in 2016. Meanwhile, political pundits in the U.S. have increasingly spoken about the importance of the Latino vote. Noreen Sugru is the Vice President of Research for the Chicago-based Latino Policy Forum. She spoke with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg about the latest research on Latino voters.
For years now, we've been hearing about the importance of the Latino vote. What would you say is the most significant thing to know about that voting bloc? Well, you couldn't really call it a bloc, but about Latino voters in 2024?
Well, I think first it's really important to understand that Latinos are not a monolithic group, and that while the majority of Latinos in the United States and in Illinois, it's an even greater percentage, are of Mexican heritage. In fact, the Latino population represents a large number of ethnic groups, different countries of origin, and all of those make a difference. Having said that, I think it's important to also know that Latinos are not an immigrant population. The majority of Latinos are, in fact, U.S. citizens. And when you have a population that has been historically, the preponderance of the population has been immigrants, and they move into citizenship roles, that means their ability to vote matters. And the Latino population is an essential voting group. Depending upon what state you're in, is depending upon how you want to treat the Latino bloc. So in Florida, you care much more, for example, about the Cuban bloc than you would in Illinois, even though there's a measurable portion of Latinos are Cuban. That's not really where the political base would be. I think one thing that we see that's common among Latinos is that across the board, neither party speaks to Latinos. In many ways, one of the most interesting findings is that some of the polls, especially one of Pew's, if you look at the top five concerns among voters who identify as Latino, immigration is not listed as one of those top five. When you look at the non-Latino population, immigration is listed among the top five. The Latino population lists in its top five what we call the kitchen table issues: jobs, school, health care, housing costs. Those are the things that matter. And yet, I think what we see from both parties is not a full understanding of the monolithic character of the Latino population, and the fact that immigration...
Oh, the non-monolithic character.
The non-monolithic character, and that immigration isn't going to be the factor that is going to resonate with Latinos. One of the other things is how you reach Latinos, because so many Latinos, and I'm thinking here in Illinois, do live in households where Spanish is still spoken. And although a majority of Latinos get their news and information same place everybody else does, there still is a large presence of Latino media. And in the last off-cycle election, there was, in the Chicago media market, there was roughly $100 million spent. There was less than $2 million spent in the Spanish-speaking market. That is, to me, a kind of shocking figure, given that the population growth in this country, and even in a state like Illinois, where we lost a little bit of population, we didn't lose more because of the Latino population. So you would think that political parties would understand this is a voting group, and you've got to reach them.
Is there a substantial generation gap among Latinos?
Well, Latinos trend young, and Latinos, their mean and median age is significantly younger than for whites and blacks. And when you look at the proportion of voters, say under 45, and I'll give you Illinois statistics. Illinois is sort of a very good gauge for much of the population, much of the, of understanding a lot of what's going on in the U.S. It's not a perfect replication, but it's good. Almost half those voters are under 44 years old, and only about 21% are over 55. When you look at the white voters, more than half are older. And so what you're really seeing is that Latinos are a younger voting bloc, and whites and blacks tend to be older voters. Their population is aging. What that means is that we have a very interesting finding. If you get Latinos registered, they vote not as quite as high percent vote as they do in the black or the white community, but it's a pretty high proportion of registered voters who actually vote. However, the percent of eligible voters who are registered is lowest among Latinos. And in part, it's because it's a relatively young population, and we know whether it's blacks, whites, or Latinos, young people do not vote at the same rate. They don't register at the same rate as older people do.
I've heard in recent years that there's a shift among Latinos more towards Republicans and more towards Trump. Is that true, or has that been exaggerated?
You have to remember that when Bush the Younger was elected, he garnered over 40 or 42% of the Latino vote.
He was Spanish speaking, I remember. Yeah.
Yes, but it was more than that.
He understood that the need for undocumented people to work in the U.S.
Oh, yeah, but undocumented people don't vote. But what he understood was talking to Latinos about the issues that matter to them: housing, jobs, education, healthcare. Whether you agree with someone's policies or not, if they're the only ones reaching out to you, you're going to see that. There is a large percent, significant percent, not large, significant percent that have voted for Trump and appear to be leaning towards Trump in this upcoming election. But in many ways, their reasons are very similar to what you hear among, for example, white suburbanites. My 401k did great. Eggs did not cost $8 a dozen at the grocery store. We didn't have supply chain problems. You know, an economist once told me, when the economy is good, a president gets too much credit. When the economy's bad, a president gets too much blame. And so, you know, I think back to, what's his name? Mary Matlin's husband.
The bald guy. Right?
Yeah. James Carville.
James Carville, yeah.
And what did he say? It's the economy, stupid. And for Latinos, remember, they have the highest rates of labor force participation among racial and ethnic groups. Latinas are growing the labor force, yet Latinas among all racial and ethnic groups have the lowest median earned weekly income. When you are people that a group, whatever group, however you cut the demographics, when you're a group that is working, is not making a lot of money, in Illinois, for example, nearly 50% of workers, Latino workers, make $15 an hour or less. And they have the lowest per capita income among racial and ethnic groups. Latinos also have the lowest rates of health insurance coverage among racial and ethnic groups. They want somebody who's speaking to those issues.
So if the Democrats say, look, we're for a higher minimum wage, and we're for more worker protection, and we're for more unemployment insurance benefits, does that resonate? Or if the Biden administration points out, look, our numbers are much better than they were under the Trump administration, do people care about that?
I think people care about what, and this is true whether you're Latino, Black, White, Asian, whatever. I think people care about how they feel in their personal life. And I think that the Democrats have sort of failed to resonate and explain what is going on in people's lives. When you think about it, many of their solutions seem very complicated. And that's because these are complicated issues. In many ways, Trump offers soundbite solutions. And when people are struggling economically, when they want to know how they're going to pay for their kids' college, when their kids who are going to college can't fill out a FAFSA form because the government couldn't figure out how to get the FAFSA form out there and ready for use, they're not helping your personal life. And I think that we have to understand that Latinos have an ability to really impact election outcomes and therefore policy outcomes, judicial appointments, and resource allocations. But in order to do that, the parties have to speak to Latinos and they have to speak to issues and they have to speak to what matters in their lives. And what we know from a lot of the research that we've seen and just from talking to people is they don't feel like they're being spoken to and they don't feel as if they're being heard. And this is the population, the demographic, that is making sure that we don't lose more population than we have.
So the issues that the media tends to emphasize often, such as abortion or right now the war in Gaza, the Latino voters as a whole wouldn't pay that much attention to that, would you say?
I don't know the answer to that question because I haven't seen the breakdown on the Gaza-Israeli situation.
Well, the polls do show that the majority of Americans favor a ceasefire, for example.
Right. But I can't speak to specifically what the Latino breakdown looks like because I have not seen that racial and ethnic breakdown.
Can you think of, we know there's locales like cities where the Latino vote has been very decisive in electing, say, mayors or city council people. Are there states where that's been true in terms of races for governor or senator, for example?
Well, of course, New Mexico. And we know that the Latino vote is going to matter in Arizona and in Nevada. We know the Latino vote matters in Texas. And we know that the Latino vote matters in California. And it matters in Illinois as well. And what is interesting, I think, that the parties have to figure out is how you reach Latinos in destinations that historically have not been Latino destinations, but are actually growing. They were referred to about 15 years ago as the new destination. What happens in states like North Carolina? What happens in states like Georgia, where you may begin to see increasing numbers of Latino citizens? And how are they registering? Are they voting? And who are they voting for? And that's something I think we really need to watch very carefully at the national level. And in terms at the state and local level, again, thinking about Illinois, the majority of Latinos live in the Chicago suburbs, not in Chicago. And so what happens when Latinos move to municipalities where they historically have not lived? And we know from research we do on housing and some stuff we have in the pipeline that they're moving to suburbs that many of them are moving to suburbs that historically have not had large Latino populations. What does the move to the suburbs and to municipalities outside of those traditional areas, what is that going to do to elections at the state and local level for state house and local municipal levels? And we know that especially if Trump wins in November, that the actions and the policy movement to help better people's lives is going to be at the state and local level. It's not going to come from the federal government.
What you mentioned about immigration before is interesting, that Latino voters as a whole don't see that as a major issue. And
they don't see it as a top five issue, according
top five,
to
because you'd think that so many Latinos living here would have relatives from other countries who they would want to see become citizens here or be allowed to live here. But it doesn't work like that, you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is that Latino citizens have concerns that look like what most citizens care about. What are the issues that impact my family and me? How am I going to get my kids educated? I want to be able to buy a house. I want to live in a safe community. I want access to health care. I want a good job. Those matter. And the Latino population is no longer majority immigrant. And, you know, they are here, their kids are here, their grandkids are here. What's the local world going to look like for their families? And that's no different than, I think, anybody you pull off the street.
Anything else you want to add to what you said?
I think that watching the Latino vote is going to be extremely important. I think really understanding the role that Latino plays, particularly in states like Arizona and Nevada, is going to be extremely important in November. And, you know, I hope that both parties figure out a way to reach and message and listen what this population, which is so important to the economic and social stability of the country, what they have to say and how you can meet the needs that they say they have.
I would imagine that each party would listen to certain groups that they feel represent certain constituencies within the Latino community.
You know, I think all of us can read the tea leaves. I think it's going to be a very interesting 5 to 7 months to see how things play out.
That's Noreen Sugru of the Latino Policy Forum speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on June 4th, 2024.